Good morning, good afternoon, and I would say good night, but that would mean you weren't listening to A Candid Conversation with me, your host, Declan Navarro Canty. Hope all is well. I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving holiday. I know I did. I had a nice little plate. I'm thinking next year, though, I'm definitely going to do like roast beef instead of turkey. Or some seafood choices and options, because I'm just so sick of the quintessential Thanksgiving holiday meal. You know what I mean? This turkey and the stuff. And albeit delicious, I'm just like in the mood for something new a week later. And then you get the turkey, and then it's the turkey salad, and then it's the turkey soup, and it's just turkey, turkey, turkey. And I'm just like, time for some other meats, because I'm not particularly a fan of ham. I can eat it, it's just not one of my favorite meats. Anyway, that was my Thanksgiving, and then I watched a cool movie, Aquaman, or like, and then there's this new movie with Melissa McCarthy called Superintelligence that I gotta check out. So, that was my Thanksgiving. I hope yours was great and as smooth as mine. This conversation, however, what I'd like to talk about is homelessness. A few of my listeners know that I've had several bouts of homelessness, chronic homelessness moments, and today I'm going to talk about the start of my homelessness. When I was 18, I moved out of a kinship home, and I thought, you know, because searching my independence and being able to stay out late and party like a rock star and stuff, and so I moved out and I began to couch surf with friends and families and stuff like them. However, I did, in the midst of it, get a job, a J-O-B, with Pinperg, and I was able to make the income that was required to put a down payment on an apartment, which I was able to do. So that after, you know, a few couch surfing episodes and staying with family members, I did eventually get my own apartment, a two-bedroom and South Philadelphia, on 5th and Tasker, which was a neighborhood being gentrified at the time. And it was really nice, you know, marble hardwood floors and things like that. And in order for me to afford to live there, I needed a roommate. And one of the roommates was a coworker of mine. And we, you know, put together enough to get the down payment. And then we had to scrape together a few things afterwards, just to, you know, get through to the next paycheck, which we were able to do. Long story short, we lost our jobs due to some drama at the thing, and I was able to get another one. However, she wasn't, and she kind of bailed on me without asking for assistance. Like, she didn't, like, I could have gotten her in, you know, to a different position or whatever the case, but she kind of just made up excuses when I saw that this was going nowhere. And I tried to look very quickly for another roommate, because we knew how that was going to, well, I knew, me and a friend of mine knew how that was going to turn out. And what happened was, well, it's not just like she just up and bailed, it's just like she kind of blamed me because for losing her job. Because what happened was, and this coworker of mine, at the job was being like harassed by upper management, that I bore witness to. One morning, you know, I came in early. He had no idea I was upstairs, and he was like downstairs berating her and things like that. And when time came around to like speak up on it, that was something that I did. And I tried to, you know, get the band of brothers together and get them to speak up for her too, which didn't happen. So it ended up being us three, my roommate, myself, and her, being let go. And she kind of blamed me for getting her involved and asking her to speak up for it. And so that's how that, so that's how that happened. So she kind of just, you know, left me hanging, I guess, to retaliate to what she thought was me setting her up. I don't know. But anyway, that's what happened there. And then I ended up switching apartments. I ended up my apartment over to someone else, and I went to stay at their place, that was already paid for. And then from there, since I didn't want to be by myself, I went and stayed at a friend's place. And fast forward, because this, it can get long, but I'm gonna talk about that. I'll do a second take of all these episodes and get to the nitty gritty. But just for the sake of time, I'll speed it up a little bit. And so then one day I'm sitting at a friend's house and I'm talking to a lovely lesbian. And we were sitting there talking about our dreams. This was 19 or something, and, you know. And we were talking and chatting about everything that we want to do. And she was like, well, what do you want to do? I was like, you know, I had Hollywood dreams or whatever the case may be. And she was like, well, how are you going to get it? Because Philadelphia at the time was not known for music or acting or anything celebrity-wise. Like, there's only a few celebrities that ever made it out of Philly that I can count on one hand. Like, from Patti LaBelle to Will Smith to, most recently, Kevin Hart. And people forget about M. Night Shyamalan and Bradley Cooper, but they're also from this state. And then you have people who are on the outskirts of Philly, like Taylor Swift and Pink. But there's not too many people who make it out, like, make it big from Philadelphia. So there's that. And so we were just sitting. That's kind of like the course of the conversation was going. And I'm like, and so that put me in a dream thought. I was like, if I'm going to make it, and, you know, with my bubblegum dreams that I had, if I'm going to make it, I'm going to have to get out of the city. So, and this was like 2 a.m. in the morning. And like I said, I wasn't doing the greatest. So I had like $2 in my pocket. And I just, you know, said screw it. Now, truth be told, I was a little buzzed at the time. So it did help with the courage to just up and leave. So I just kept the clothes I had on. I didn't pack a bag or anything. And I had walked downtown because I knew that I could sneak onto the Greyhound bus from other stories that I heard of it, but I didn't have to because once I walked downtown 2 a.m. in the morning, people were drunk enough and standing outside. And as I got to the section of the downtown that we call the Gayborhood, which is literally what it's called, I'm not making it up, it's not like just like I just see a lot of gay people and I call it the Gayborhood. No, it's the section of the city in Philadelphia, and these guys were singing and I was singing, and I tagged in and sang along, and they noticed my age, I guess, but they wanted to be polite about it because I could just look young. And so, you know, he was like, well, what are you doing out here? I was like, I'm on my way to New York. And he was like, well, how are you getting there? And I was honest. I was like, that's the part I haven't figured out yet. He was like, well, what are you catching, the bus or something? Are you driving? And I was like, no, I'll probably catch the bus. And we got to singing again, just songs. I think we were singing like Katy Perry's Hot and Cold or something like that. And then we went down to, and he walked me toward the Greyhound station and was generous enough to buy a ticket. Now, you know, I was thinking, because I didn't ask like legitly, because I was thinking, you know, that, you know, I would have to return the favor somehow. So thank God that didn't have to happen. He was just really friendly or either really drunk, and he just brought the ticket. And this is 4th of July, so the crowds were like plastered. Well, the day before, so this was July 3rd. And I got on the bus July 4th morning to New York. And like during the ride, I totally fell asleep because I was sort of wasted, and I was asleep for like the whole 2 hours. And then I finally started seeing, like, I woke up with like eyes like looking into New York and just seeing like, you know, the New York flair. I hadn't been before. So I just noticed that I was in New York, and I got this feeling of excitement, but also, you know, fear of like, wow. And so then the Greyhound that I took was landing in Grand Central Station, and I got there and it was time to get off the bus. I almost didn't want to get off. I was like, is this bus gonna head back to Philly? And I had those doubts, but eventually I did get off the bus. I was the last person to get off the bus, and I stood outside the exit of Central Station, and I thought, wow, I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm here feeling like I'm actually in New York, the city I hear so many songs about, there's so many movies about, and I'm here. And I had no idea what to do, so I just started walking. and I headed down toward the streets that, like, you couldn't tell me anything. Every advertisement made me feel like Broadway. So I'm like, is this Broadway? And I'm just walking. But I walked up to a few other also tourists and asked them which way was Broadway. For some reason, that was the first strip that I wanted to walk down. They were just pointing me in every which way. I didn't have a phone at the time. The phone that I had was like the government phone, the free government phone that they were giving out at the time. So it wasn't like I could just, like, you know, get on Google Maps and just find places. So I was asking around, and it was really annoying because people would say, go that way. And then another person would say, well, it's that way. And I kind of got down to, like, Central Park, and I looked at the beginning of it, and I was like, whoa, and I was experienced. But then I looked for Greenwich Village, which I somehow moseyed on over to. And when I got there, after all the walking, I had just sat down right in Stonewall Park and just, you know, wondered what to do next. I watched these people busked and things like that, and just wondered, you know what I mean? Like, what am I gonna do? And so first thoughts in my mind was like, look for resources, for homeless resources and things like that. And so I knew I was gonna have to start a conversation eventually, and there was this guy doing his shit that I didn't want to interrupt. And so he finally, as he saw me sitting there and just like looking curious, he finally came over and sat next to me and started a conversation. And he was just like, you know, you knew here? I'm like, yeah. He was like, yeah, family here? I'm like, no. And he was like, oh, okay, so what are you doing here? And I didn't also, and he mentioned, he also brought up and reminded me that I didn't have my ID on me. And so this was what he was like, so you're here? He was just like, you're here, you have no friends, you have no family, and you have no ID. And I'm just like, wait, I didn't realize it, and it dawned on me, like, I'm just telling this to this total stranger, but then I have to say yeah because it's true. And he's like, well, you're fucked. And I'm like, I doubt it very seriously. I was like, so he just peeled off from me and just was like, you know, this is just some kid that's just like, he thought I was fucking with him for some reason, but that was really my situation. And so then this lovely drag queen came over and was gonna do her shtick, and then came up to me, and he was like, and I mean, she was like, you know, hey, how are you? You know, just get it. And she was like, I can show you around. So she took me down to the pier, and we walked around, and I was explaining to her my story that I was looking for resources, and she mentioned the LGBTQ center, which wasn't far from Stonewall Park. So I asked her to show me there. And she would, like, we took, like, I guess what you want to call a roundabout way or a long way around to the LGBTQ center. And once I got there, she kind of just left. She just left me at the door, and I walked inside. And I walked inside, and I got some resources. And I was just looking at places to go and things like that. The secretary or receptionist wasn't able to tell me much, but there was a guy in there that, you know, was like, noticed that I was looking for resources and things like that, and so he wanted to show me. He said he had a place to show me. I was like, oh, okay. And so but first he made his advance, and I was like, oh, like a sexual advance. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I ended up that night going over to his place. What can I say? And after that, that morning, he had showed me to the Alley 40 Center, which is in Harlem. So he took me all the way there, and then also dropped me off and left. So now I was at Alley 40 Center, and I was searching resources. So I was in a better position now. So I became more relaxed from, you know, not knowing anybody or not knowing anything. And as I was at Alley 40 Center there, you know, I was meeting people. I was still off-standish or off-putting because I was just like trying to be like protective of myself. So I'm like totally speeding the story up. It didn't happen this quickly, but then I was there, and then there was someone, a young lady there, who showed me, who referenced a shelter that she could show me to. And so I went with her to the shelter, and it was called Sylvia's Place. It was on West 34th Street in Manhattan. And she took me there to that shelter, and that was where I spent the next few weeks and days in New York. And at that shelter, there were people who were organizing a trip to like a retreat center, a retreat resort called Easton Mountain, and they were hosting an event called Arts in the Woods, which was right up my alley, since, like I said, I initially moved there to pursue music and acting and things like that. So I signed up for that, and then I was one of the eligible picks to go to Easton Mountain and do Arts in the Woods, which was so fun. So it was basically a 3 or 4 day retreat where you did courses and music and dancing and theater and things like that, and painting and artistry and things like that. And so I was up there doing that. At the time, I was close to an individual. We weren't necessarily dating. Boyfriends, but we were dating at some level. We had gotten close in the shelter, and then we had started dating at some level and things like that. So that's who I became close to. It's like, as I got back to New York City after the retreat, and people noticed that we were together, and a friend of mine, I don't know like if I should say his name, but I'm going to, and if he doesn't like it, I'll edit it out later, I guess. But a friend of mine named Hunter Reynolds noticed our liking for one another. How do I put it? Because you know, you usually say love, but you noticed that we were into one another, and he thought that he was able to help in the capacity. So he let us stay at his place for a while until we figured things out, and encouraged us to get employment and things like that. And so that's what we were doing there as we searched for jobs. And like I said, it was difficult because I didn't have my ID, so it took a little while. And eventually, while we were figuring it out, they allowed us to come, because we were actually trying to do stuff. They allowed us to go back to Easton Mountain, and we stayed there for a little while. I forget the timeline there, but I know that it was a few months or so that they helped us out and like get us thing together. But one of my main issues was that in order, because this is before they allowed like Social Security, birth certificate, and ID. This was just back when they only had the option, you know, to get employed, you need like one of those, three or four of those things. This is before they added like or the other, you know what I mean? This is when you needed one of the, and one of the things that you needed was a birth certificate, but you need that to get ID too. So it was just that cat and that. It reminds me of that commercial, but it was just roundabout, so I had to get that. So I went back to Pennsylvania to get my birth certificate, and then came back to New York. And I want to talk about all of this, but it's gonna tie into some other things, which I want to save for next season of A Candid Conversation. But that was basically the generalization of the start of my chronic homelessness. And I'll talk about it more with you throughout the podcast. Hopefully what you've learned from this conversation is, you know, to be able to, if you are moving to a city, find resources or Google resources before you get there, and don't be afraid to be social. I know that we always say stranger danger and things like that, but I think you can trust your gut and be able to ask for help when you see people in the same predicament or might know some things that can be useful information for you. This has been A Candid Conversation. I'm your host, Declan Candy, and I will see you next time.